Good morning, brethren, and Sabbath peace to all of you. I think Mr. Ball said afternoon services, yay. I think he likes morning services, too. I really do. He's here. And before I start, I just want to say, and probably I'm just speaking for all of us, when I see In Accord and Mr. Horchak, his visit to Africa, when we see the faces of people in different parts of the world who are members of God's family, and you see what they go through, it is inspiring to see that our faithful family members are doing what we're doing. Now, Mary was amazing in that little pedal hand cart. I just get so, I get a jolt from that. It kind of helps us to reflect on who called us and why we're here. The same they are around the world. So I appreciate that. In 2 days, we in this country will honor those who died fighting in the many wars that have marked this nation's 240-year history. This day is known as Memorial Day. Flowers and flags will be placed on the graves of the dead, and ceremonies will take place around the country to honor those who gave their lives in defense of this country. Memorial Day was first proclaimed in 1868, 3 years after the Civil War, by General John Logan. And it was first observed on May 30th of that year, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. After World War I, the holiday was changed to honor Americans who died fighting in any war. It is now celebrated on the last Monday in May. The word memorial has primarily two definitions. One, something designed to preserve the memory of a person or event as a monument or holiday. And two, a written statement of facts presented to a sovereign, a legislative body, or similar. Yet, the word memorial has dozens of synonyms. Here are just a few. Remembering, memorializing, in tribute, celebrative, in remembrance, acknowledgement, appreciation, esteem, honor, and respect. If we were to condense into a simple concept, it would be remember. Remember. And remember simply means to recall to the mind by an act or an effort of memory. While doing research on Memorial Day, something that I found that I did not know. On Memorial Day, the flag of the United States is raised briskly to the top of the staff and then solemnly lowered to half-staff position, where it remains only until noon. It is then raised to full staff for the remainder of the day. And here's the reason. The half-staff position remembers the more than 1 million men and women who gave their lives in service of their country. At noon, their memory is raised by the living, who resolve not to let their sacrifice be in vain, but to rise up in their stead and continue the fight for liberty and justice for all. In the year 2000, Congress passed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, asking people to stop and remember those who sacrificed their lives for this country at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day afternoon. Monday morning, I will raise the American flag on our flagstaff at home, and I will silently thank the Eternal for blessing us in this country, and pray for thy kingdom come. And basically, I'm praying that the time will come when mankind will learn war no more. Remembering is an everyday exercise. It is essential to who we are. Memories tie our past with our present and provide a framework for our future. Our memory, as a whole, makes us who we are. So who are we? We acknowledge that we are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and here is the handbook. And one of the themes in this book is remembering. Remembering. And this book is filled with items that we are to remember. In today's message, we will test your memory. Please don't become stressed. This will be an open book test. And we will discover how critical the theme of remembering is for us through the pages of this book. Today's title, Always Remember and Never Forget. As early as I can remember from childhood, we celebrated Memorial Day. This was our national holiday. There would be parades and picnics and family gatherings, American flags everywhere that you looked, and especially in the cemeteries, they were filled with new flags. When I was younger with my sons, we were in Boy Scouts, and there was a few times where we would go to the cemetery on Memorial Day weekend and put new flags on graves. And how you could tell, there was a brass medallion at the grave of a veteran, and we would put a new flag on that grave. All this activity was intended to show appreciation for what others have done for us, to remember what was done for us. There is a superior event in history that was performed for mankind. Sadly, he hasn't learned to recognize or appreciate it, or appreciate its purpose for him. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we will see in the scriptures the first reference to remember. Genesis chapter 2, and we will read verses 1 through 4. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And verse 4, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. But the word remember was not in these four verses. We have heard, and on numerous occasions, the Sabbath is a memorial to creation. One of the definitions of memorial, something to preserve the memory or of a person or an event. The event was creation. We as human beings, the highest form of creation, are commanded to remember this day. That command can be found in Exodus 20. This is a familiar scripture, Exodus 20. And we will read verses 8 through 10. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. And the command begins with the word, remember. The Sabbath was designed to be a blessing for mankind, and we recognize that. The majority of mankind has not discovered it yet. Let me ask you, how did you arrive here today? All of us took some kind of transportation, a car, a truck, a van. Everything that makes up the components of that vehicle, the metal, the rubber, the glass, the fabric, the gasoline that powers it, came from creation. But now notice verse 11, Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and then rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. The food, the water, the oxygen, all comes from God's creation, directly responsible for our existence. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And we are commanded to remember the Sabbath and everything that makes it a blessing for us. I will repeat something that I said earlier. Remembering is an everyday exercise. It is essential to who we are. Remembering ties our past with our present and provides a framework for our future. Today, we are given the opportunity and the time to stop, to consider, to remember who we are and where we are going. All made possible by the greatest power of the universe. The weekly Sabbath indeed is a blessing for us. And I find it highly encouraging to stop and remember everything that makes this day so very special for us. The Sabbath is truly a memorial to God's creative power and His creation. Now, if I were to test your memory, what would you consider to be the next memorial that we find in the Scriptures? The next memorial. Turn with me to Genesis 7. Genesis chapter 7, and we will begin reading in verse 22. Genesis 7, verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. This verse is speaking of the great flood that destroyed all living creatures which were on the face of the earth. Why? Just turn back to chapter 6 in Genesis. Genesis 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent, the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God remembered Noah. And his credits are rehearsed in 2 Peter, where it is recorded that God saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. This is Noah's memorial, a written statement of facts that he was a preacher of righteousness, meaning he lived a righteous life. Now turn with me to Genesis 9, and we will discover the next memorial. Genesis 9, verses 12 through 17. And let's read verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Verse 13, "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." All flesh that is on the earth. When you see a rainbow after a storm, do you remember why it is there? To be honest, I had forgotten. The rainbow is more than an optic refraction of the sun's rays and drops of rain. It is a sign of the covenant that God made with all living creatures, that he would not destroy the earth again with a flood. The Eternal was grieved in his heart that he would destroy mankind. It's because it was of sin. Man's wickedness had become so great. The rainbow is a reminder, a memorial, that God has not forgotten mankind. And God has set in motion a plan to rescue mankind from complete destruction. And this plan begins in Exodus 12. Turn with me to Exodus 12. We'll begin in verse 14. "So this day shall be to you a memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." What day is this speaking of? This day is the Passover. The blood of the lamb on the doorpost and lintel rescued the firstborn of that family. When Jesus Christ kept the Passover with his disciples, he instituted the new covenant Passover. The bread and the wine symbolized that his broken body and his blood, his sacrifice to rescue mankind. And he said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." I can remember with tremendous detail the day that Sherry and I were baptized. We went to Mr. Johnson's house in Monroeville, and in his basement was the water container, the big thing. And I'm sure you also can remember details of your baptism. And in my mind's eye, I could see those present, including the two other people who baptized with us. Mr. Hand and Mr. Listman, and were the ministers present. And I can see the faces of several of the senior members of the Pittsburgh congregation to welcome us into the church family. The day that we were baptized, Sherry and I, was our Memorial Day. It was a day to remember. A day that changed the course of our life forever. The members who were present that day, they remain only images in my long-term memory. Just images, that's all. Not weekly human connections. Why? Because they don't come to church anymore. But why? I suppose, through the course of life, they forgot. They forgot who they were and where they were going. Earlier I stated, remember is an everyday exercise. It requires conscious effort. And it is essential to who we are. Memories tie our past to our present and provide a framework for our future. Turn with me to James, the first chapter. James 1. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The formula is this. Hearing first the instruction, then following up with action on our part. Hearing what to do, knowing that it's from the truth, and then personal commitment to actions. It is a simple, basic act of faith. And this is a scripture that speaks to this directly. Romans 10. Romans 10. And we'll read verse 17. Romans 10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Simple, easy to remember, and to the point. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is developed by reading and studying the scriptures, the word of God, on a regular basis. These are basic Christian principles. Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In the book of James, Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, wrote in this epistle, James chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It's dead faith without works, without effort. Look at verse 25 in James 20, in James 1. Back at verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Notice, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. This scripture was recorded as a warning, because people do forget. James 2, verse 23 and 25, or James 1, verse 23 through 24, again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The scripture was recorded as a warning because people do forget. Brethren, we must never forget who we are and what we've been called to do. We represent God's way of life in this world. In 15 days, we here will celebrate another Memorial Day. That day is Pentecost. Pentecost is a memorial that Jesus Christ did build a church, and it began on Pentecost. God's Holy Spirit was now made available to everyone who repented of their sinful ways, were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Certainly a day to always remember. But Pentecost identifies who we are and where we are going. Here is a short list of God's Holy Spirit and how it impacts our lives. God's Spirit is the power of God. It leads us into all truth. It enables us to discern spiritual things. It is our guarantee or seal of eternal life in the resurrection. And without it, we are not Christ's disciples. It is by God's Holy Spirit that we are able to follow Jesus Christ's example, to achieve our purpose, to develop holy, righteous character. And this is by our power of choice, which God has given to all mankind. And that method of choice originates in the mind. Romans 12. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, and we'll be reading verses 1 and 2. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. To change. By the renewing of your mind, making the choices that lead to righteous character. And this can only be accomplished by God's Spirit leading you in your life. I think now would be a good time to share with you the motivation for this message. It stems from a scripture that I read, and I wondered, why was it recorded? Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And we will read verses 6 through 13. Matthew 26, verse 6. Let's read. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil. She poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." Verse 13. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel was preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This act of personal sacrifice for our Savior was to be recorded in the Scriptures for all time as a memorial to her. Why? I wanted to know why. Let's read verse 10 again. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me." The apostles did not fully comprehend what Jesus would soon have to endure. This woman's act of self-denial and dedication to her Savior would be remembered as a memorial of her. The lesson that I consider from this scripture is this: what act of self-denial and commitment for Jesus Christ will be recorded as a memorial of me, of us? What good works will be remembered that I accomplished representing Jesus Christ to this world? If you look back one page to Matthew 25 and read verse 40, Matthew 25, verse 40. "And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." You did it to Jesus Christ. When we commit to and perform good works, throughout the course of this life, it will not be forgotten. Let's conclude, brethren. Turn to one final scripture, Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Today we use the word memorial to teach a lesson. The very purpose of the word is to remember. We in this country use as a day, Memorial Day, to remember those men and women who sacrificed their all to maintain peace and freedom here at home. We can see as well that the events of mankind's history, as told through the pages of the Scriptures, events that we should always remember. If I may suggest, there's another Memorial Day for those of us here, and that day is June 12th, Pentecost. A day when we recall the beginning of the New Testament church, the church that Jesus Christ founded, the church that we are all part of, and call to mind the offering of the power of God through His Holy Spirit to those who commit to Him, living as His Son Jesus Christ lived on this earth. And we remember those faithful Christians who went before us, those who sacrificed in this world to be part of the next, who fought the spiritual battles, who stood for the truth, as we do today. Let's conclude by reading Malachi 3, verse 16. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened, and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. The heading in my Bible states, a book of remembrance. The Lord knows who you are and the battle you fight each day to obey him. He remembers what you're doing each day as you represent his way of life. When we look into the spiritual mirror, always remember and never forget who you are and what God is doing in your life.